Welcome back to the Roundtable. I'm Sarah LaDuke. In Emma Seligman's film Shiva Baby, a near college graduate, Danielle, gets paid by her sugar daddy and rushes to meet her parents at a family Shiva.
You're wearing makeup. You look nice with makeup.
Thanks.
How do I look?
You look great. Yeah, you
do
look great.
Do I?
Yeah, Mom, you
look
good.
You didn't say that in a very self-assured way.
No, you look great, Mom.
Where'd you get that bracelet?
I don't know.
Wow, looks expensive.
Yeah, I think you got it for me in, like, high school or something.
Really?
Yeah.
I'm amazing.
All right. Shall we go in, everybody?
What's my soundbite again?
You know, just that you're finishing up finals and you got a few job interviews lined up.
Although Moira's here and her daughter Stephanie.
Jessica.
Whatever. She's like this marketing executive, kind of publicist thing.
Assistant.
Exactly. You should really talk to her, you know?
No, she doesn't want to talk to her. She's not interested in marketing.
It's just a job.
Upon arrival, she is accosted by various relatives about her appearance and lack of plans. Danielle's day takes an unexpected turn when her sugar daddy arrives at the Shiva with his accomplished wife and their baby. As the day unfolds, Danielle struggles to keep up different versions of herself, fend off pressures from her family, and confront her insecurities without completely losing it.
Oh my God.
Wait a sec. I haven't had a chance to catch up with you yet.
How are you?
Where did you go, Danielle? Where did you go? Your skin and bones.
Yeah.
What are you up to? Besides starving yourself to death.
Just, studying.
Do you have a boyfriend?
No.
Really? I don't believe you.
I have nothing serious.
So you just study and, don't eat and go out with your beautiful friends. Is that it? Is that your life?
Yeah. Yes, that's my life.
Wow, lucky you.
The Woodstock Film Festival will present a solar-powered screening of Shiva Baby on June 17th at 9 p.m. at the Bearsville Center's outdoor lawn in collaboration with Oscillation Transia. Shiva Baby began as Emma Seligman's thesis project short film at NYU, and we began our conversation with me asking her what she had to do to grow it into a full feature.
It took a lot of trial and error. I think I struggled the most with how to find the right tone. In terms of how the process was adapting it creatively, it was just writing multiple drafts and having really wonderful producers and Rachel Sennett, who plays Danielle, read all those drafts and give me notes, because having a story take place in one house in one day can get quite boring. So it took time to figure out like what was going to keep us in our seats or on our couch or whatever it is. It was just really writing and then figuring it out. But the parameters of the movie never changed. It always stayed in that house and the same characters pretty much. So that's what it was like adapting it creatively from thesis to feature. But that felt like nothing compared to financing the movie. That felt like the sort of me writing was happening in the background of like the main sort of creative issue taking up all our time, which was trying to find people to give us money. So that ended up taking up more of my time, but that was sort of the process. Yeah, it was a 2-year process, from the short to feature.
When you began making it as your thesis as a short film, could you have imagined that it would become a feature-length film that would get picked up by festivals and supported and distributed by Utopia?
I certainly hoped that it would. Mm-hmm. I tried to go into my senior year picking an idea that might have the legs to be expanded into a feature, but I hadn't thought about what that would look like or what it would be. And I was still workshopping the script up until the day we shot it for the short film. So, you know, it was just a hope. I mean, I think I was looking back at the journal the other day because I used to say, oh, I don't know. I thought maybe, but I think I was pretty certain it was going to happen. Like I was trying to manifest it.
Yeah, that's great.
So yeah. Yeah. So I don't know if I actually believe that it would, but I was telling myself it would, you know?
Sure. That's very important. When you created the characters for the short, and then of course they are expanded in the feature length film, did you have the ideas about the characters? Did you know them better than we get to know them in the short film?
I don't think at the time I was writing the short. I think even within the process of writing that, I feel grateful that I went to a great film school and I had an incredible professor in my senior year, and I had a wonderful group of classmates who I workshopped the script with in class. So it it took me a while to figure out what the core of the movie was and who the characters were, you know, other than just like, you know, the places that they were holding within the story for Danielle. So I think it was once the short was done and people were telling me what they loved about the short that I thought more about how I could get to know them more in the future. I mean, to a certain degree, I feel like I knew the parents pretty well.
That was going to be my next question.
But I think I got to know Danielle a lot more. I think I sort of spat her out of me subconsciously in college. And then I think as I was developing into a feature, I was actually trying to sort of figure out what was making her tick, which I wasn't as sure about before. But yes, the parents. They're not directly, you know, adapted from my experiences with my parents, but they're inspired by, yeah.
Right. And the parents are very, very funny. Not exclusively funny, but they are also funny. You mentioned that the film takes place primarily in one house because it's a dashiva. How did you capture the tight spaces? You really do kind of get the claustrophobia of a calling hour situation at a house after a funeral, because there's just a lot of people around and they're milling and they know each other to varying degrees. But it is a whole feeling to capture on film. How did you make sure that you got it?
Well, thank you. I think it started with working with my incredible cinematographer, Maria Rushi, and watching a lot of references for me of films that took place in one day or 3 days in one location. And a lot of them were like tense family dramas or psychological dramas or, you know, thrillers. And so I pulled pieces from those to show Maria, and a lot of them were pretty just tight and claustrophobic. And then I think once we were in the space, you know, thankfully we had access to the house that we were shooting in quite a bit before we shot, just because the homeowners were really kind, and we found them off Airbnb and they were very generous. So we were able to visit a few times, and then I made like a Lego set. So I'll just say that we had really developed the shot list quite intensely. And then once we were in the space right before we shot for a week, we worked it through on more of a logistical level with, you know, our producers and our assistant director, who controlled obviously the schedule and like what, how many extras we could afford and whatnot. So we sort of, I mean, we didn't really have to compromise a ton, but, you know, we had to sort of shift here and there based on, you know, if we would have a runner or like a long shot going from one room to the next, people would have to remind us that we can't afford to fill a million extras in every single room on that day. So we can't have a shot going from room to room to room. And also, we don't have Molly and Diana and Rachel on that day because Molly's only available these days. I think that was the most collaborative process, was sort of figuring out that claustrophobia of the house and how it could cohesively feel tight while also, you know, just being achievable.
I might have misheard this. Did you say you made a Lego set of the set?
Yeah, okay. Yeah. I'm so impressed over that.
No. Yeah. but we are a Lego household. I'm a Lego person. so I just, you know, we're not going to shift completely to that, but tell me about building a Lego set of the set of your movie. Did you keep it built?
I did keep it, I think, and I don't know where it is at the moment. I'm looking around my apartment because I just moved to LA and all my stuff was just shipped from New York. So I'm looking at all these boxes being like, which one has the Lego set? Maybe my producers have it. Anyway, my professor recommended I do that for the short film, and then I didn't. But I remember his advice. So I got like, you know, just one of those basic boards that you can get. It wasn't like a specific set. And I had fun with my friend Julia, who loves Lego. We went to the store and we just picked pieces at random that were going to represent like the walls and the couch and the bit. And then we chose our like little figurines, which took up so much space in the fake room.
Of course they did.
It was so not to scale. No. But it gave us an idea. It was great because we could like little move them around, be like, no. And then she's facing this way. Because sometimes I really am not good at storyboarding or drawing in general. So it was just really a lot easier for me to be like, no, this is how they're standing. And show them to my GP and then to my producers. And honestly, like, even if I do something with many, many sets, I hope that I can get to a point where I have other people helping me make like Lego sets for each location, even if it's a bunch. But it was really, really helpful. And yeah, I nothing but good things to say about Lego. I also was a babysitter for a few years, so I'd gotten used to it. Mm-hmm. You know,
yep.
I hadn't gotten used to building sets on Lego, but I'd gotten used to playing with it. And I sort of rediscovered my love for it through, you know, playing it with kids that I was babysitting. So that was the Lego story.
Thank you. You are Canadian. You went to school in New York and you've just moved, as you mentioned, to LA, which is often the next natural progression as a filmmaker. You got to get out there to where the Hollywood sign is. How did you decide to move? Are there opportunities popping up?
In LA?
Yeah.
I moved actually more for a change of scenery. And I mean, it feels sort of appropriate because my industry is here. But I was living with my parents for a year in Toronto in the pandemic. Mm-hmm. And it was very cold. And we were in a pretty intense lockdown. And I was very jealous of my friends who could hang out with their friends outside here. I was originally just going to come to LA for a month to be with my friends Rachel and Molly, who star in She's a Baby, when the movie was released, and to sort of celebrate with them. And then I landed and I just decided to move here because I think I still associate so much stress in New York from that time of trying to raise that money and all of that stuff. So I just wanted to change. I am liking the serotonin so far, but it's very different. yeah.
Rachel Sennott and Molly Gordon, who you just mentioned, are phenomenal in the film. How do you know them?
Well, I met Rachel when she auditioned for the short, honestly. I had seen her in a few other thesis films of other students, and I'd also seen a few sketches that she'd written and acted in. I thought she was really funny and sort of looked like a cousin or a sister or someone I'd run into at a Shiva.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the rest is history. She's now my best friend. And, you know, she stayed actively involved after the short film and, you know, was on me about my goals and each step. And she was quite, you know, the Virgo. She's very organized. And then Molly, honestly, we just watched her in Booksmart.
Yeah.
And mm-hmm. And Rami came out around the same time. And I just thought she was so funny and empathetic and natural, and very confident and, like, you know, snarky. And I thought that she'd be perfect, and we offered her the role and she said yes. So that was that. We didn't know her at all, and then we all just got really close while we were shooting.
They are both so natural on screen, and I think that your script, you know, helps them with that. It's written, the dialogue is written so realistically.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
I do have to say they ad-libbed quite
okay.
a bit, but I mean, I shouldn't say ad-lib. Because the two of them are sort of the most childish characters, I guess, out of everyone, it was important to, you know, especially because Molly was, we got to know her slightly before we shot, so she was willing to give us like a day or two of unpaid rehearsal. You know, or that's all I wanted to ask of her versus the other actors. I didn't want to be like, hey, Fred Malamud, like,
right.
Can you sit with me for a week unpaid? So they read the scenes aloud, and we were talking about a lot of the stuff when it comes to, like, their generation, like the communication and the Instagram and all that in that scene. I sound so old. The Instagram and, you know, whatever. And they just, like, tailored the lines to feel a little more authentic. And then, Molly's really funny too. Mm-hmm. Rachel's a comedian, so Rachel's always down to ad lib and to try new things. But Molly also is really good at improvising. And it was rare they just made stuff up on the spot unless I purposefully told them to go off. But they're also just really, they have great timing and they're very creative.
I'm realizing that I have been focusing on how funny the film is, which it is, but of course it is also the character. Danielle wouldn't say it's funny, I don't think. She's very stressed out at this Shiva with her family and everything that's going on. And you give her a lot to deal with and a lot to present to her older relatives and to the audience. Tell me about some of the themes you wanted to explore through these young women in your film.
I think that after sort of like digesting the short film a little bit and understanding what was happening underneath the comedy, I knew that, I mean, after a certain point, after a certain amount of drafts of the feature, I sort of tried to just get to the core of what it was really about and think about what made the short successful at a core level. And I think the sort of meat of it was just, you know, about validation and self-worth and, you know, the pressure to be so many different things as a young woman and the way that those pressures can put you into a real, I don't want to say those pressures put you into a pressure cooker. it's not very original, but they can make you have a real, you know, early onset, you know, quarter life crisis. I think I was feeling a lot of different anxieties approaching graduation, as many do, but I think it really sort of dawned on me like how it's just impossible to be all the different things that we are expected to be. And I think I also just wanted to showcase a girl who's sort of realizing like the limits of her sexual power, you know, and that she doesn't have much validation or self-esteem or self-worth underneath that. So that was sort of the core of sort of the theme, the main theme I wanted to explore. And then everyone else is just sort of in her way and making it harder for her to keep it together. And I think other themes sort of came up naturally. But that was the only one that I wanted to really make an intention of, articulating.
She's under pressure to be a lot of certain things and under some pressure to not be certain things because she's bi and her mom is accepting of it, but also like very insistent that it's probably a phase, anything with girls that she's had. So yeah, there's also pressure to not be things that she knows she is.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, and all of these things are so, I think, subtle when they happen in real life, but they feel, they all chip away at someone's self-esteem. I think they're all like death by a thousand cuts. And I think that's, it's all just sort of helping Danielle in her downfall. Yeah.
The Woodstock Film Festival will present a solar-powered screening of Shiva Baby June 17th at 9 p.m. at the Bearsville Theater. Emma Seligman is the screenwriter and director. Emma, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me.
Once again, the Woodstock Film Festival will present a special solar-powered screening of Shiva Baby June 17th at 9 p.m. at the Bearsville Center's outdoor lawn in collaboration with Oscillation Transia. For more information, visit woodstockfilmfestival.org. I'm Sarah LaDuke, and you're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.